Disney had created a reserve sufficient to fund Euro Disney's losses through March 31, 1994. But Eisner used the annual report to declare that this could not continue indefinitely, and that others would have to bear their fair share, meaning that the creditors would have to forgive or restructure a large part of the crushing $3 billion in debt. "We will deal in good faith with our fellow Euro Disney shareholders and Euro Disney creditors, but in doing so, I promise all shareholders of the Walt Disney Company that we will take no action to endanger the health of Disney itself." Given the studio's financial success, especially when contrasted with the performance of the other divisions, it still seemed inconceivable to Katzenberg that Eisner would want him to leave the company. The issues of staying until the end of his contract and the 2% bonus if he chose to leave were still unresolved. He'd never heard back from Wells about Eisner's misunderstanding. But Katzenberg let them go in the wake of his conversations with Eisner at Aspen and the ongoing efforts to expand his responsibilities, such as running any acquisitions. From a legal standpoint, his letters from the previous fall announcing his intention to leave the following year still stood as his last word on the subject. At some point during the following spring, Katzenberg's tenure again became an issue. He told Eisner and Wells that he wanted to make a new 5-year deal with David Hoberman, who was running the money-losing Touchstone operation. Eisner thought it made no sense to enter into an expensive long-term contract with Hoberman if Katzenberg himself was leaving. So Katzenberg promised to tell Eisner where he stood by April. But before then, at one of their weekly dinners, Katzenberg said he'd likely stay, but only under a contract that gave him the right to leave with 30 days' notice. In other words, Katzenberg would be free to accept a high-level job at another studio, network, or entertainment company and extricate himself within a month from Disney. Under this arrangement, Katzenberg said he didn't want to be on the Disney board. He didn't want his compensation to be disclosed, as it would be if he were a board member. To Katzenberg's surprise, Eisner seemed comfortable with the arrangement. Eisner said he understood that Katzenberg didn't want to make a long-term commitment unless the conditions they discussed at Aspen were met, and used the occasion to once more express his surprise that Katzenberg was willing to walk away from $100 million by leaving 2 years before his contract expired. In fact, as Eisner wrote to Russell, Eisner was only too happy to give Katzenberg the option to leave, or for Disney to fire him with just 30 days' notice. "I was pleased to hear this," Eisner wrote, "because neither Frank nor I knew if we wanted him to stay at all, and he now did not want to go under the board under this arrangement. Certainly I was thrilled about that. His pontificating on the board would be unbearable. Frank and I were still undecided, but he was working hard. If we could only get him back to being a team player, maybe it would work out. I think Jeffrey was surprised to hear that I accepted his 30-day out, but seemed okay with it." As Katzenberg was falling from favor, others, especially Peter Rummel and General Counsel Sandy Litvak, were ascending. Rummel, who'd worked in real estate for most of his career, both for Arvida before it was acquired by Disney, and then Rockefeller Center, ran the Disney Development Corporation, which had built the hotels and infrastructures for the theme parks in Orlando and Paris. Rummel, age 46, was articulate, personable, and conversant with architecture and leading architects, which impressed